On this edition of the Daily Gator Daily Thought, we've got Seattle tax madness. We've got college kids, especially the feminists, going absolutely crazy over common sense. We've got some gun control stuff. I've got a historical quote from a historical figure, and I want you to ruminate on who said it and what it really means. And all of that starts right about now. And away we go. Let's start in Seattle, Washington. Seattle. Actually, before I start, every once in a while I do these podcasts, I look over at the shelf in my expansive office, and I see this bottle of Tulla Merdu. It is an Irish whiskey. Now, Hagen, the last name, the surname, is Irish. Most of my ancestors, though, were Mewburns, Blues, Lows, Allens. They are Scottish, but I don't like Scotch. I like Irish whiskey. So I'm going to do a little shot of Irish whiskey, and I'm also going to give you some advice if you're a guy going out who drinks every once in a while, walks up to the bar, If you're going to order whiskey in a bar, I should do a show just on what you should and should not do at a bar. And I may one day, you never know. But some things you should never do if you're a man. Besides wear a sweater vest, never do that. Because you look like Rick Santorum. And that's not a good look. Yes, I know Rick Santorum is a conservative, but I don't like the guy. Every time I see him, I want to punch him in the nose. He comes across to me as one of the whiniest conservatives out there. Who has said some incredibly stupid things in the past. Chief amongst them was that marriage is only the only purpose for marriage is to having babies. And I'm thinking, I'm early 50s. I'm too old to have kids. I don't have the energy to raise kids. I just don't. But if I were to meet somebody, say, Selma Hayek, I know it's not going to happen, but give me my dreams, people, okay? If that were to happen and we were to get married, I think she's in her 50s too, and still smoking hot. We'd be too old to have kids. Does that mean our marriage would mean less? Again, just this idiotic statement by Santorum. But never wear a sweater vest to a bar. And never order white Zin. God. Never order water with lemon. When the bartender asks you what you want, don't say, oh, water with lemon, of course. Like he's the stupidest person or she's the stupidest person on earth. You know, you can actually drink alcohol without having a glass of water. And you can actually have a glass of water without having lemon in it, you walking sissy. But if you're going to order whiskey, there's Irish whiskey, Scotch whiskey, there's Canadian blends, American blends, there's the greatest of all whiskeys, bourbons, there's ryes, there's different types of whiskey. And for God's sakes, don't order really good whiskey or bourbon or Irish whiskey and say it with Coke. Seriously, stop it. But again, to Seattle, speaking of stop it, Seattle should stop it. Seattle is a city intent apparently on committing economic suicide. They had the $15 an hour minimum wage. That's crashing, burning. Businesses are closing. But executives at Amazon and Starbucks and other large businesses This from the Daily Caller, by the way, who have operations in Seattle, Washington. They're not happy with Seattle. The newly approved tax by the city council, it's called the head tax. Why? Bet Monica Lewinsky's paying for that one. No, it's not that. I don't know. What is the head tax? The city says the money, whenever city, council, county, state, whatever, passes a tax and says the money will be used for blank, it will not be used for blank. It will be used to line the pockets of corruptocrats. City, county, state, federal, whatever. But they're trying to ostensibly address the homeless crisis in the city. And they expect to raise $48 million a year for the cause. And I imagine the $48 million will pretty much go into pockets of crooks. But again, that's just my prediction. Now, a lot of people don't like Amazon. I think they're a great business. They're phenomenal. Frankly, I wish Trump would leave them alone. Starbucks is a great business model. Starbucks spit the bit with the whole caving into the staged, well, I think staged fake outrage of the two black men who were told they couldn't use the restroom and had to leave because they weren't ordering anything. I think that was all staged. They're getting money. They're getting undisclosed settlement. They're getting college tuition. They played the system, and the Starbucks CEO bent over and dropped his drawers and said, "Go for it, boys. Don't bother to use Vaseline." Too many CEOs are damned cowards. Now, businesses making more than $20 million in gross revenues will have to fork over an extra 275 simoleons, dollars, big ones, smackers, whatever, per full-time worker each year. Now, that doesn't seem, you know, $20 million in gross revenues and you pay out 275, that's nothing, but for a full-time worker. So what is it? I don't know how many full-time workers Starbucks or Amazon have in Seattle, but that adds up pretty quick. And guess what? They'll cut hours. They'll go under, you know, to make more people part-time rather than full-time because, again, businesses have to make money. Profit isn't bad, people. Profit is not evil. Profit is not of Satan, okay? I know you left-wingers think that profit is always bad. It's not. Without profit, the world would be, well, all the world would be Venezuela. And the left would be happy because they love equality. And equality to them is preferable to everybody having their boat raised by the tide, everybody having a higher standard of living. That's not good enough for the left. They want everybody to be equal, even if it's equality of destitution and poverty and suffering. The left is truly morally corrupt. They're clueless. Amazon released a statement saying it's disappointed in the city council's decision because basically it's a tax on jobs. If you hire somebody and work them 30 hours a week, you're supposed to do that. You're immoral if you don't work them 30 hours. But if you do work them 30 hours or more full time, so you have to get benefits, or they qualify for benefits, then you're bad and you have to pay a tax to help poor people. This is part and parcel of what defines the left. They are stuck on stupid. People actually think this kind of thing works, and it gets done over and over. The results are bad over and over, yet they still do it. Now for the quote. I had the historical quote. I want to move into gun control. Will be the last issue. I'm going to get into some college issues. But who said this historical quote? This person said the measures adopted to restore public order are, first of all, the elimination of the so-called subversive elements. They were elements of disorder and subversion. On the morrow of each conflict, I gave the categorical order to confiscate the largest possible number of weapons of every sort and kind. This confiscation, which continues with the utmost energy, has given satisfactory results. Big believer in gun control, whoever that was, and they used it to subvert people, intimidate people. Now let's go to Florida State. FSU, Free Shoes University. Florida State University, the arch enemy of my beloved Gators. At Florida State, there is a statue, or soon we will say was a statue, of Francis Epps. Now, you may not know who Francis Epps is, but he was apparently a big-time participant in the founding of Florida State. He was also the grandson of Thomas Jefferson. And the statue's there of him on Florida State's campus because, well, he was big in the founding of the university. But he was a grandson of Thomas Jefferson and also owned slaves. So therefore, he must be erased from the historical book. History has to be cleansed, my friends. Cleansed. I would say whitewashed, but that would be racist. We know the left never does anything racist. FSU students. This story from Campus Reform, by the way. FSU students for a democratic society applauded the committee, saying that Epps does not belong on campus because he was a slave owner whose role in founding the university has been exaggerated. Given that they are leftists and Marxists, what they're saying about his role in founding the university is probably inaccurate because Marxists and communists lie because the truth is meaningless to them. Now, there was an open referendum. Remember, this is the Students for a Democratic Society. We know what democratic means. Why? Right? The majority rules. You put things to a vote. A referendum is a vote. Democracy rules, right? But the Students for a Democratic Society didn't like what the democratic process wrought. Because the referendum failed. But in to ride to the rescue came a 15-member committee for recommending the removal of a historical statue from campus, that being Francis Epps, of course. Now, in 2016, students voted overwhelmingly, the democratic process, again, remember, against taking the statue of Francis Epps down. Now, he's considered a founder of FSU due to his instrumental role in establishing the school that eventually became FSU. Originally, it was an all-girls school. Now, it's an all-thug school. I'm just kidding. I'm just talking about the football team. A 15-member committee of students, faculty, and staff, however, voted earlier this month to suggest that FSU disregard that result. Again, the Students for a Democratic Society are happy because democracy was kicked in the nuts and thrown in the ditch by the road and left to lay there. So disregard democracy, even though they're democratic. The argument was the memorial does not belong on campus because Epps owned slaves. And that it is inaccurate to label him a founder of the university because he owned slaves. What's wrong with this picture? Besides the fact that students who claim to be for a democratic process want to reject democracy when it doesn't go their way. That's the way the left operates. That's simply the way they are. They say they're for something, but they're only for that something until it's convenient for them to be for something else. That's why I say about the left, leftism is an ideology of convenience, also of inconsistency. I write on my blog sometimes under the category, if you want to read some of these, liberal maladies, which I'm going to change to leftist maladies. But there's consistent inconsistentitis. The only thing consistent about the left is they're inconsistent. Whichever way the wind blows, it favors them, they go with it. Is it truth? Is it lie? They don't care. It's all about winning in the end. It's all about achieving your ends. When they say the ends justify the means, they believe it because they do believe it. Excuse me. But also from campus reform, the feminuts are crazy. I mean, crazier than a pet coon, folks. They're angry. They're outraged. They're peeved. They're PO'd. They're just outright outraged. They're outrageously outraged at the outrage that a commencement speaker said some things they didn't like. Now, this happened at Sweetbriar College. No, I've never heard of it either. Sounds like they make jelly. I went to Sweetbriar College. What did you major in? Oh, strawberry preserves, grape jam, you know, peach preserves, that kind of thing. Oh, of course. Student and alumni of Sweetbriar College are expressing outrage. See, I told you there was outrage. After the school's commencement speaker said she has only partial sympathy for the hashtag MeToo movement. She said in her speech, this is Nella Gray Barkley. She graduated from Sweetbriar in 1955 with a degree in raspberry jam and strawberry preserves, I believe. Just kidding. She graduated in the mid-50s. She said in her speech, I do intend to change your view of yourselves and your world just a little if I can. This speech was given on May 12th. I do not intend to suggest you put on your armor and ride into battle in a man's world. In fact, I do not believe it's a men's world. We women just need to claim the part of it we want and claim that with high expectations and no ambivalence. So you tell she's not a feminist. She's not playing the victim card. That's the first thing she did wrong. She didn't talk about sexism or misogyny or anything else. Now, this woman, who is a Harvard business graduate and 2002 recipient of Sweetbriar's Distinguished Alumna Award, told graduates of the All Women's College that, I'm no raging feminist. I actually love men. I married one. Barkley then went on to say that her sympathy for women claiming to be victims of sexual harassment or assault depends in part on a woman's role in the encounter. Uh-oh. She just crossed that line. It's the personal responsibility line. Some things you can't do. Remember, there was a college, I don't know the college, but they were telling freshman girls coming into school the first year, look, if you go to a party, watch your drink. Don't let someone else make you drink without seeing them make it. Don't let somebody else watch your drink. Make sure your drink is with you at all times because you could be drugged and then sexually assaulted. And the feminists were angry. They called this victim blaming. They called it excusing rape somehow. No, it's common sense. Saying, hey, be careful. You give people advice to be careful, be safe. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. But, of course, the feminists don't care about that. They just want to be angry, bitter lesbians who hate men. That's why feminists hate Hooters, which is why I like Hooters. Well, that's not the only reason I like Hooters, true. But, yeah, that's the best reason I like Hooters. Barkley continued, I applaud the women coming forward who was cornered in a locked wine cellar by a man who was her superior, Barkley explained, but added that I have little patience with the woman who arrives breathlessly at her boss's hotel room for a so-called conference. What did she think was going to happen? In other words, she's saying to women, young women, think. If a situation, an invitation, makes you uncomfortable, makes you feel like, maybe that's not quite right, maybe you shouldn't go. Maybe you should have some alternate plans. She's saying be a little responsible. And she's daring not to equate harassment or some impropriety to sexual assault. Those are very different things. Remember, that's what Matt Damon said when this was all the rage on Twitter and everywhere else. He said, hey, There's a difference between being actually raped and being harassed sexually. And he was excoriated for how stupid you are, man. Many drivers got mad at him. Of course, he groveled like he has no testicles and apologized when he should have doubled down and said, no, what I said makes sense. Of course, Matt Damon's an idiot. When he says something smart, he doesn't realize it. He's that stupid. But he makes up for it by being a really bad actor. Reminding graduates that it is you who makes the ground rules and you who enjoy the consequences of them. Barclay asserted that it's only natural for men from Mars to follow the shortest skirt in the room. Hey, it's partially true. Okay, men can behave like pigs. And no, not all men are pigs. But I've seen some things by men that were truly disgusting. And I was embarrassed to be a man because I don't consider the behavior they were engaging in really manly, more punkish, more childish. But women have a lot more power than feminists want to allow them to know they have. And advising young girls to be responsible and be careful and think it out is great advice. And it should be lauded that she said this. But of course, she was labeled as, by one graduate, as shameful and disgusting. The student argued that there were sexual assault survivors in the graduation class today who had to relive horrible memories as Miss Barclay participated in victim blaming and internalized misogyny. Well, if you listen to Barclay's comments, she said there's a difference in someone who's actually sexually assaulted and someone who was harassed. So she wasn't belittling or minimalizing the experience, the horrible experience of being a sexual assault victim. Another student said, Sweet Briar should be embarrassed. In a comment left on the public Facebook page of the university, a user by the name of Hannah, I won't even use her last name, or her hyphenated last name. You ever notice how women with hyphenated last names a lot of times are really whiny? She was confused, she wrote, as to the choice of a speaker who perpetrates, she said, rape culture. Really? Rape culture. Saying women should take more responsibility, have more power than they actually... How does that play into rape culture? Another Facebook user blasted the official email from the college president, Meredith Wu, stating that she is disappointed and disgusted to read Meredith Wu's response to the concerns of her stakeholders. It's a suck-it-up buttercup email that reeks of privilege and a complete lack of understanding of what it means to grow women leaders, the user continued. Her emphasis on agency is appalling. She ultimately ashamed, shallow, vapid, and arrogant. Huh. Well, you know so much about growing women leaders. Why don't you act like a leader and stop acting like a whiny little girl? Because that's what you sound like. Now, Wu addressed Barclay's speech controversy on a talk radio network, saying Sweetbriar has always been a place that encourages a rigorous debate and making really good jelly. This kind of discussion and debate that ensues as the result of plurality of views that exist on campus is always welcome to me. Pushback is fine, and we want our women to be leading the debate on precisely these types of issues that are of great importance to our society. The speaker spoke about not condoning any type of assault, but she also spoke about the importance of women avoiding situations where they can get into trouble and be and be subject to an abuse of power by some men. There is a very serious issue with abuse of power in our society at all levels, we conclude. I hope very much that we can continue this discussion when school reopens in the fall. And as yet, Sweetbriar officials have not condemned the speaker. So they're holding their ground so far, which is good. We need more of that, folks. We need more of that. Now, let's have a little gun control talk. the Boulder City Council has banned assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. They're allowing people already own AR-15s to keep them, basically if they register them, though. They've set up a registry. They've done what Marxists always do, what totalitarians always do. And it will be, they're being sued already. Hopefully, this law will not stand. But the move is always what? To take guns away from you, me, to limit what we can have, limit how many we can have, how many how big our magazines can be, how many bullets we can buy, IDs for buying ammunition, blah, 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 gun registries. Here's an idea. Reading the Daily Caller today, Anders Hagstrom, who's a justice reporter for the Daily Caller, put a little video up on Facebook. On YouTube, I'm sorry. But he wrote that Wednesday, today, Mark Dallas, a school resource officer in Illinois, exchanged shots with and disarmed a student who brought a gun to school this morning, Wednesday morning. Now, you didn't hear about this because there was no mass killing. This student was stopped by an armed officer, was shot. His evil plans didn't come to fruition. But the important thing was to note that the media doesn't cover these stories. Be a passing glance at best. They don't talk about how a shooter was successfully stopped, because the narrative they want to perpetuate doesn't gel with an armed person, be they a civilian or a police officer, engaging and shooting a bad guy, because that puts firearms in a positive light. It also points out how schools can be safer, more armed security. If armed security doesn't make us safer, why do we have the Secret Service? Why do we have so many celebrities with private security? Why do we have that? Why do we have police escorts? If armed guards, armed people, don't help keep people safe, why do the rich and powerful and famous do it? I'm not going to name the shooter's name. He was 19. He arrived at Dixon High School around 8 a.m. Wednesday morning. When he got there, he fired shots at the resource officer. He hit him. The officer was able to fire back, hitting him. And the point of this is, as Hagstrom writes, what happened in Illinois should have transpired in Parkland in February, but the on-site officer acted with cowardice and didn't enter the building. But Dallas's success is unfortunately the exception, not the rule. Then he gets into talking about something we should fix. In thinking of Parkland, he writes, both the FBI and Broward County Police knew the Parkland shooter was violent and mentally unstable. He was kicked out of school, reported to police dozens of times, but still allowed to buy an AR-15. Because the law enforcement, mainly the Broward County Sheriffs, didn't do their job. Remember Dylan Roof, South Carolina, slaughtered the people in the black church in Charleston? He was allowed to purchase his weapon in part because of errors by FBI agents during the background check process. That's what the FBI said. Again, breakdown of the process. Remember the evil jihadist that shot up Pulse nightclub, killed 49 people in Orlando? After pledging allegiance to ISIS, he was investigated twice by the FBI before that slaughter, but he was ruled as not a threat on both accounts. He was even allowed to have a concealed carry permit and worked as an armed security guard. The FBI, they knew about Fort Hood shooter, Army Major Nadal Hassan. They knew he'd been in contact with Al-Qaeda terrorist Anwar al-Awlaki, but the Bureau declined to investigate him. The FBI had failed to alert the Army about Hassan and the shooting could and should have been prevented. That's what a congressional probe found. Hassan killed 13 people, wounded dozens of others in the 2009 shooting. The FBI similarly missed opportunities to stop Tamerlan Tsarnaev, one of the brothers behind the 2013 Boston bombings. Russia warned the United States that this guy had association with Islamic terrorists. That led an FBI-led task force to question the future terrorist. The agent who interviewed him closed the probe. He found no link or nexus to terrorism. The task force was alerted a year later that Dzhokhar was leaving the country for Dagestan, but declined to interview him or prevent him from departing the country. The failure to interview him was a huge error, FBI agents later said, this according to the Boston Magazine. So all these breakdowns, all these tales of programs that pay schools and police departments not to arrest kids that commit violent acts, but they don't want to have that pipeline from school to prison. So they just don't enforce laws, basically. All those tales, all the times we hear of schools not having armed security, we don't want an armed teacher. We don't allow teachers who want to carry, who have CHOs to carry. We don't want any armed security. All those things. And yet all they want to do when these happen, they don't want to look and say, well, the Secret Service, police escorts, armed security. Wow, armed security works. It ought to be able to work for kids. Law enforcement ought to do their job. They just want to blame the NRA and blame you, me, people who own firearms. And the whole point of this, as this writer at the Daily Caller ends his piece with, he writes, perhaps lawmakers should focus on fixing these issues before restricting gun access for law-abiding citizens. What an idea. And now, before we close, I open with a quote from a historical figure. This figure said the measures adopted to restore public order are, first of all, the elimination of the so-called subversive elements. They were elements of disorder and subversion. On the morrow of each conflict, I gave the categorical order to confiscate the largest possible number of weapons of every sort and kind. This confiscation, which continues with the utmost energy, has given satisfactory results. Do you know who said it? David Hogg, one of the other kids from Parkland, a Democratic senator, congressman, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton. Who said it? Benito Mussolini. Yes, that pig. That evil, detestable bastard. Again, totalitarians all agree. A disarmed populace is what they prefer. So think about that before you start supporting gun control. And start supporting gun control groups because they say things that sound like they care. Think about what their true goal is. Or even if it's not their goal, maybe they don't know. But think about where the road they want us to go down leads. Mussolini knew. Think about that. This is Doug Hagen for the Daily Gator blog. I will talk to y'all later. Good night. God bless. Whenever you listen, I appreciate it. Remember, if you're left, you just stay right. And as always, go Gators. Y'all have a wonderful time, whatever you're doing.